Welcome back to the table, and in our Bible study segment today, we are starting Mark chapter 5. We are in lesson 17. This one's titled, Jesus Heals a Demon-Possessed Man. Great, great lesson today. Connie Stample is our teacher. She's here with us today. Hey, Connie.
Hello.
Hello. What are we going to be learning about today?
Well, we are going to have another encounter with Jesus and just see his expanding of power and authority. And really, I'd like, as we read through this lesson and study it, I'd like the women to really pay attention to how people respond to Jesus. And it's often with fear, but then does that fear lead to something that draws them to him, or does it push them away? Does it repel them? So we are right here. Mark chapter 5, and we're going to do verses 1 through 20, which I will read all together, and then we will come back and kind of look at some of the details in there, because Mark gives us vivid details, which makes it a great read. So here we are, Mark 5, verse 1. They came to the other side of the sea, to the country of the Gerasenes. And when Jesus had stepped out of the boat, immediately there met him at the tombs a man with an unclean spirit. He lived among the tombs. And no one could bind him anymore, not even with a chain, for he had often been bound with shackles and chains, but he wrenched the chains apart, and he broke the shackles in pieces. No one had the strength to subdue him. Night and day among the tombs and on the mountains he was always crying out and cutting himself with stones. And when he saw Jesus from afar, he ran, turn the page here, and fell down before him. And crying out with a loud voice, he said, What have you to do with me, Jesus, Son of the Most High God? I adjure you, by God, do not torment me. For he was saying to him, Come out of the man, you unclean spirit. And Jesus asked him, What is your name? He replied, My name is Legion, for we are many. And he begged him earnestly not to send them out of the country. Now a great herd of pigs was feeding there on the hillside, and they begged him, saying, Send us to the pigs, let us enter them. So he gave them permission, and the unclean spirits came out and entered the pigs, and the herd, numbering about 2,000, rushed down the steep bank into the sea and were drowned in the sea. The herdsmen fled and told it in the city and in the country, and people came to see what it was that had happened. And they came to Jesus and saw the demon-possessed man, the one who'd had the legion sitting there, clothed in his right mind, and they were afraid. And those who had seen it described to them what had happened to the demon-possessed man and to the pigs. And they began to beg Jesus to depart from their region. As he was getting into the boat, the man who had been possessed with demons begged him that he might be with him. And he did not permit him, but said to him, Go home to your friends and tell them how much the Lord has done for you and how he has had mercy on you. And he went away and began to proclaim in the Decapolis how much Jesus had done for him. And everyone marveled. We have another story of Jesus' power. And interestingly, when our last bit, the end of Mark chapter 4, was about Jesus being in the boat and how he calmed a storm and had great power over the force of nature. Here in this episode in Mark, we find about how Jesus has great power over a host of demons. Actually, it's the man was said to have a legion of demons, which people of that day knew what that meant, because a legion in the Roman army could be up to 6,000 troops. And so we know from them having the name legion that there was a great number of these evil spirits in the man. And the evil spirits were also called unclean spirits. And that's because as demons, as fallen angels, as ones who followed Satan, they were definitely unrighteous. They were morally impure and unclean. And their possession of this man had brought him to the point of being someone who couldn't even be in normal society. They had tried to shackle him. They had tried to keep him away from them. And he ended up living among tombs, probably hollowed out caves in the hillside where the dead were placed. And so he was living in an unclean place. And as we look at the verses, which I'll point out in a minute, he was also self-destructive. He was hurting himself. He was shrieking. He was uncontrollable. And so this man was in a very desperate place. It really is a picture of what sin and Satan can do to a human. People are to reflect and be image bearers of their creator God, of God who made them. And this man has had that image of God distorted and almost destroyed because of the demon possession. And so it's a great picture of the change, the transformation that can happen when someone encounters Jesus and he heals them. Well, going back to the text here, verse 5, it says, they came to the other side of the sea, to the country of the Gerasenes. And what has happened is Jesus and the disciples have been in the boat, and they've gone from the western side of the Sea of Galilee, where most of the towns of Galilee were located, to a region which is really a Greek-influenced region, a secular region, a non-Jewish region, and probably close to the small village called Gerza, which is now called Kyrza, which is still present there on the eastern shore of the Sea of Galilee. And it's also known that the topography there matches what we're learning here, because it was a steep mountainous area and the hillside just went abruptly right down to the sea. In verse 2, we find it says, and when Jesus had stepped out of the boat, immediately there met him out of the tombs a man with an unclean spirit. And so in Mark, we keep seeing the words immediately. And as soon as Jesus arrived, this man was there to meet him. And it tells us in verse 3 that he lived among the tombs and that no one could bind him anymore, not even with a chain, for he'd often been bound with shackles and chains. But he wrenched the chains apart and he broke the shackles in pieces. And so this demon-possessed man had unusual strength and was, again, uncontrollable. And he definitely was a social outcast. He was not allowed in the town which was nearby. And then we find out that night and day among the tombs and on the mountains, he was always crying out and cutting himself with stones. And so he was shrieking uncontrollably. And also the idea that no one had the strength to subdue him was actually the words they would use to tame a wild animal. And so he was just a wild, wild man. And then it says, when he saw Jesus from afar, he ran and fell down before him. And I'm thinking that the demons probably didn't want to approach Jesus, but the man, the human that was there, needed help. And in desperation, he went toward what he hoped could help him. But then we find out that the demon speaks, because in verse 7 it says, and crying out with a loud voice, he said, what have you to do with me, Jesus, Son of the Most High God? And actually, that's a very common protest in the Jewish language of that day. We had that earlier in Mark, and really means, why are you interfering with me? And so the demon is saying, Jesus, Son of the Most High God, why are you here? And interestingly, that name for God, God Most High, is one that we find throughout Scripture, in Genesis and in many places, but it's often a name that the Gentiles came to understand Israel's God by. And by that, they meant, and they came to understand that Israel's God was the one true God, the living God, and this God had power over man-made gods and false gods and the gods that they knew in other areas. And so this demon recognized Jesus for who he was. And then the demon begs Jesus. He says, I adjure you by God, do not torment me. And so the demon is asking not to have his final judgment sealed at that point. He's asking to be free to do what he wants to do for a bit longer amount of time. And then in verse 8, for he was saying to him, meaning Jesus, was saying to the demon and the man, come out of the man, you unclean spirit. And then Jesus asked him, what is your name? And he replied, the demon replied, my name is Legion, for we are many. And he begged him earnestly not to send them out of the country. And so the demons didn't want to be sent to the abyss and bound and have to wait for the final judgment. And then we found out another detail of the story, and that there's a great herd of pigs feeding there on the hillside. And this helps us understand this is also a Gentile region, because the Jews would never be raising pigs because that was an unclean animal. But anyway, the demons then begged him, saying, send us to the pigs, let us enter them. So he gave them permission, and the unclean spirits came out and entered the pigs, and the herd, numbering about 2,000, rushed down the steep bank into the sea and were drowned in the sea. And literally the Greek says, one after another, they drowned themselves. And so it was one plunk, two plunk, just pig after pig falling, you know, rushing down into the sea. Interestingly, we'd say, why did Jesus allow the pigs to do that? And truly, we don't know. God in his sovereignty can do as he desires for his purposes and his glory. One thing that probably this episode emphasizes is Jesus' power over a great number of demons. It sounds like we have at least 2,000 or more demons, an incredible possession, oppression for the man who had these demons. and also probably a visual for his disciples and for the herdsmen and even for the man himself of what he had been saved from. Don't know for sure, but this is what God, Jesus allowed here. Then in verse 14, we find kind of the impact of this episode. It said the herdsmen fled and told it in the city and the country. Sounds to me like the herdsmen were afraid to flee from the area. And then it says people came to see what it was that had happened. And they came to Jesus and saw the demon-possessed man, the one who had the legion, sitting there, clothed and in his right mind, and they were afraid. What a contrast. We used to have a shrieking, uncontrollable, social outcast, totally unclean man, possessed by crazy demons. And now he is in his right mind and sitting there at the feet of Jesus with clothes on, quietly. What a change. Something has definitely happened. And then it says in verse 16, and those who had seen it described to them what had happened to the demon-possessed man and to the pigs. The way the Greek is, it really does emphasize what happened to the pigs. And so one of the people's concern is perhaps the loss of the pigs. This was a large amount of money that went running off into the sea. And so that seems to be at least one of the things that they're concerned about here. And then in verse 17, it's kind of sad. They said, and they began to beg Jesus to depart from their region. The Son of God was there among them. He had just demonstrated his power. He just saved a man from demon possession. And they want him to go away. We don't know exactly all that they're thinking, but obviously they recognized probably some power, something supernatural in him, but they're afraid of him and they don't want him too close and they want him to go away from them. And there's also possibly the possibility that they're still concerned about economic loss and what they've lost in the pigs, but a sad commentary that they did not want him to stay and to teach them. And then verse 17, he said they wanted him to depart from them. And then in verse 18, it says, as he was getting into the boat, the man who had been possessed with demons begged him that he might be with him. This is an opposite response of the people, because the man who has just been saved and delivered from this demon oppression wants to be with Jesus. He's begging to be with him. And those words, be with him, are the same words that we had back in Mark 3:14, where Jesus called the 12 apostles and said that part of the purpose was for them to be with him, to learn to be like him, to do what he did. And then we find here Jesus' response is, and he did not permit him, but said to him, go home to your friends and tell them how much the Lord has done for you and how he has had mercy on you. So this is a different response, because usually in Mark to this point, Jesus has been telling people not to tell what's happened and what he's been doing. But again, remember, we're in a Gentile region, and these aren't people that know the Messiah is coming, and they're not looking for a political Messiah. And so there's a different population in this area. And this man himself could certainly have been a Gentile. And so the Lord is telling him to stay and tell people about what has happened, about his healing. And then in verse 20, it says, and he went away and began to proclaim in the Decapolis how much Jesus had done for him, and everyone marveled. What I love about this episode is the man who'd been healed of the demon possession was obedient. He went and did what Jesus asked him to do, and people marveled to hear about someone who was able to save a man who'd been possessed by so many demons. It makes me think about what God might be asking each and every one of us to do. Those of us who know him, he asks us, we know he does from his word, he asks us to be his witnesses and to tell others what he has done. I am going to review a couple of things from the study notes just to kind of bring some of this all together. But it's a beautiful thing when we can recognize God moving and working in our lives and what he's done and give him glory. And it starts by, even as the demons recognize Jesus as God Most High, is recognizing who the Lord is as God Most High. And so in the study notes, there's a couple of psalms to read and some things to consider. But little bit of history. I just have to tell you that term God Most High was used several times by the Babylonian king Nebuchadnezzar, who was the one who utterly destroyed Jerusalem. And of course, he had encounters both with Daniel and with Daniel's friends, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. But if you remember the story of the fiery furnace, after Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego refused to bow down to the golden image of Nebuchadnezzar and were tossed into the fiery furnace and then saved Nebuchadnezzar came to the door of the furnace and had to call out, and he said, "Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego, servants of the Most High God, come out and come here." And of course, they came out. And then Daniel chapter 4, just a couple verses later, verses 1 through 3, Nebuchadnezzar gives praise to this God, to the Most High God, who is able to do incredible things. I also have a verse down for us to look at, and that is 1 Peter 3:15, where Peter talks about suffering, but then he also talks about how each and every one of us who believe in the Lord Jesus may be asked to make a defense or tell others about him. And so Peter writes, "But in your hearts honor Christ the Lord as holy, always being prepared to make a defense to anyone who asks you for reason for the hope that is in you, yet do it with gentleness and respect." So today, as we think about this lesson, we can praise God for what he did for the man who had such a terrible demon oppression. I praise God that he gave evidence that he understood who Jesus was and was saved. And then just as Jesus told him to go out and tell others what God had done for him and how the Lord had shown him mercy, may that be what we also do.
Oh, amen, Connie. Thank you so much. Very powerful lesson today, ladies. I do encourage you to get the notes from our website at naomistable.com. And if you'd like to share this particular podcast, just this 10 minutes or so, you can share that liberally if you like to. We would really like that. Naomistable.com. And we're going to talk more about this when we come back.